Québec Solidaire came close to being the official opposition in Quebec, offering a more progressive alternative than the Liberals or the Conservative Party, both noted for carrying out heavy austerity measures. Dominique Anglade's Liberal Party was re-elected as the official opposition. Québec Solidaire received more votes than the Liberal Party of Quebec, but won less seats in Quebec's National Assembly. Québec Solidaire is the most left-leaning party in the country, challenging neoliberalism through redistribution of wealth, promising the promotion of Indigenous rights, climate action, sovereignty, and more. The party's wealth tax proposes net assets between $1 million and $10 million to be taxed at 0.1% per year. Assets between $10 million and $99 million would be taxed at 1% yearly, and those with more than $100 million in assets would be taxed at 1.5%. Those inheriting $1 million or more would be taxed 35%, addressing intergenerational wealth. Québec Solidaire challenged the provincial government's Bill 21, the secular law which prevents those in public service from wearing religious symbols such as the hijab. Québec Solidaire said it would contest the law if elected. Currently, the bill is being challenged and will be taken to the Supreme Court of Canada. The party also has a comprehensive climate action plan, calling out Quebec Premier François Legault and the CAQ government for accelerating climate change. Québec Solidaire promised to cap carbon emissions by 55% and ban gas-powered cars by 2030. Both climate change and housing are vital to address as the global temperature creeps towards 1.5 degrees Celsius and long-term affordable housing has become more inaccessible for many, especially in Montreal. Québec Solidaire had the most climate and housing-conscious policies among the five major provincial parties. They promised to buy 10,000 affordable houses and condos to resell them for 25% less. This money would come out of a $1 billion fund dedicated to purchase properties that would be renovated and resold at affordable prices. The party has also promised to produce 25,000 units of social housing. In comparison, the CAQ promised to fund almost 12,000 more social housing units if re-elected. Legault said 15,000 units that have been put on hold by the former Liberal government are either being built or have already been completed. Housing rights group Frappou reacted to Legault's comments on Twitter, stating that less than a third of those units had been built and some of the projects are still threatened by a lack of funding. Local 514 caught up with spokesperson for Frappou, Catherine Lussier, at Montreal's climate protest to understand how the need for housing is interconnected as climate change continues to affect us.
There is for us a really big link between the two, basically also because most of the tenants are way more vulnerable than landlords. To these changes, we can take the example of Hashtag Maisonneuve and the flooding, and then these tenants that have lost everything, don't have insurance, and then they don't have anything anymore. And they will be the first, and they are the ones, some of the first being directly impacted by the housing crisis and also the climate crisis. And also the example of Gatineau a few years ago with the tornado and then a lot of like a neighborhood got destroyed and it was affordable housing and then everything that had been revealed was so much expensive that all these tenants were not able to go back to this neighborhood that they lived to and then they had to displace themselves basically.
From Ganawagi to downtown Montreal, hundreds to thousands took to the streets to protest Law 96, a legislation passed in May that aims to preserve the French language in the province. This law would restrict access to healthcare, education, justice, and government services in English. Local 514 spoke about this with Chief of the Mohawk Council of Ganawagi, Ross Montour.
The week after the bill was passed, I happened to hear in my own community, in a market, two students who were working. And they were talking about actually leaving the province if and when, you know, the impacts were going to be felt at the CJEP level. Now, to take that and say, this is your home, this is your Indigenous land, and then contemplate having to be part of an exodus, which, you know, Quebec has seen since the 1970s. Our language has been under assault for generations now, but the struggle to maintain the language, the cost of which was borne by our own community, has been ongoing since the 1980s.
Quebec Solidaire supports Law 96, but stating if elected, they would plan to reverse the grace period provision for immigrants expected to learn French within 6 months and would meet with Indigenous leaders to protect Indigenous languages in the province.
We're talking about sitting with First Nations and Inuit leadership to talk about this and to say, okay, where do we need a service in that language? Where do we need to have a sign in that language? And in that dialogue with First Nations and Inuit communities, we will be able to really define specifically what those linguistic rights are.
But why doesn't Quebec Solidaire do more to denounce Bill 96 beyond these 2 points? And is this a betrayal to Anglophones in the province? Local 514 spoke about this with freelance journalist Nora Loretto.
The problem with Bill 96 is that there are pieces in it that absolutely are that need to be undone. And it's also a political party. It's not a movement. I saw so many people saying, well, this is gonna be the first time I don't vote for QS because of Bill 96. It's a political party. You don't have to agree with 100%. You shouldn't agree with 100% of any political party. Don't vote for QS if you don't want to vote for QS. But let's remember that politics is messy. It's dirty. There's no purity in it at all. And what we need to do as left-wing people is push and push and push to make sure that the balance is always having left-wing pressure in the same way that we need to bring anti-racist pressure and feminist pressure on the party so that they stop any slide to the center. That's the real thing.
Approximately 65% of Indigenous people in Quebec speak English as a first, second, or third language. This includes most Inuit, most Kanyekahaga, most Iyu, most Anishinaabe, many Mi'kmaq, and most Niskapi. Many Indigenous communities in the province both operate and rely on English. Sovereignty is a key point for Quebec Solidaire, but could separating from Canada divide Indigenous communities, in particular Inuit Nunaga? Inuit Nunaga is the regions in which Inuit inhabit, consisting of the Inuvialuit settlement region in northern Yukon and Northwest Territories, the territory of Nunavut, Nunavik in northern Quebec, and Nunatsiavut in Newfoundland and Labrador. Inuit already faced barriers in returning back to Nunavut or Nunavik. As a result of colonialism, Montreal has a large population of homeless Inuit. Many of them can't return home even if they want to, as they need two forms of ID to get on the plane. But could an alternate citizenship to Canada create barriers? Many Indigenous in the province don't consider themselves as either Canadian or Quebecois.
We're not sitting at termination tables, okay? We are already practicing self-determination as the Mohawks of Ganawage, okay? Our discussion is about how you continue to get out of our way and interfere with the exercise of our self-determination. We have a nation. But somebody in my lifetime decided to legislatively, on the part of Canada, enfranchise me and deem me to be a Canadian. And they never asked me. They never asked my mother. Even here, I mean, like in Quebec, whoever forms the government, they're not forming the government one way or the other because of Mohawk people voting, because we do not, as a rule. Now, there may be individuals, you know. But for the most part, as a block of people, when we hold to the idea that we are already a nation, okay, and we have every bit as much right to self-determination as the Francophone people of Quebec, the Quebecois.
So what changes could a newfound province create? Quebec Solidaire had 6 Indigenous candidates running in this election cycle, including Maite Laprec-Saganache, a Cree candidate living in Ungava, where a majority of Inuit live in the province, and many Cree as well. Quebec Solidaire only has 3.9% of members who identify as racialized, according to 2021 statistics. Could this create issues in the party within making a sovereign Quebec?
Sovereignty means breaking away from Canada. And Canada is also a white colonial state. Now, can you say that a sovereign Quebec would solve white supremacy? No, probably not. But you can certainly look at the structures within Canadian society that perpetuate white supremacy and say, are there ways that we can rebuild something in Quebec that doesn't do that? The status quo has already demonstrated that it's incapable of actually doing anything better.
The party has been accused of not handling anti-racist policies well and overlooking people of color candidates. An Inuk candidate running in the 2018 provincial election for the Ungava riding said she was sidelined by Quebec Solidaire following the election. In 2021, more than 80% of Quebec Solidaire delegates voted to censor the party's decolonial anti-racist collective, a group within Quebec Solidaire.
There was a group of people who had been frustrated with a lot of things that had been happening in the party. I think that the frustration was probably most concentrated around the way that leadership would respond to issues or didn't respond to issues. On his feet, Gabriel Nadeau-Dubois is not super good in talking about issues of racism or colonization. When he does talk about it, it comes across as being like, you know, it's just not something that he understands as well as he understands a lot of other issues. And because he has mastered so many issues, you can really hear that he's not in his comfort zone talking about some of the stuff. And so the Decolonial Caucus emerges to try and bring together the critics of the party inside the party to coordinate their criticism and to find a path or an avenue to try and make change within the party. For a party that wants to reimagine a sovereign Quebec, making sure that colonization and decolonization is at the front of everybody's mind is really, really important. So I think that they were driven by that principle, by making sure that whenever we're imagining a sovereign Quebec, we're not simply imagining a mini Canada. The party didn't deal with this caucus very well. They were expelled. It was just handled so poorly. The membership of the party is like 96% white. The membership being that white obviously meant that issues that are important to racialized communities often didn't get through to the instances within the party that it needed to. There is nothing that even comes close to Quebec Solidaire in any other part of this country, like not even a little bit, including all of the problems they have with racism, all of the problems that we've talked about already. The radicalness in a party like Quebec Solidaire is only possible because of sovereignty. Because they're saying, forget the script, we're ripping it up, we're creating something new.
Do you support Quebec Solidaire? How can we push the party to be even more progressive? And what can we do to push the newly re-elected government of the CAQ to embrace more progressive policies? To watch the video version of this episode, visit Local 514 on YouTube or CUTV on Facebook.